wouldn't get to it by July 4th.
We have to defer.
What's that?
I said, thank God this isn't an ordinance, or we wouldn't get to it by the July 4th.
Absolutely.
We'd have to defer.
Laurel fireworks celebration.
What did we do last year, 250?
Get a clean copy.
What did we do last year?
50 each council.
250 for Mr. Dukes and Mr. Phillips.
Yeah, everybody.
Council Maddox.
No, just two.
Good move, good try.
I make a motion, we give 250 to Mr. Phillips and my council Maddox.
Second.
The move is second that we give 250 for Mr. Phillips, 250 for Mr. Dukes. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
Not voting, Mr. Rogers, yes. Frog Hill, we'll, how much did he give last year? We'll double it.
Well, he gave, don't do that. The latest he gave was a community, you probably should defer, because the latest he gave was a community improvement.
How much was that?
Prior to that, it was a council Maddox. I don't know which one he wants to do.
Well, how much was it?
Is it the bathroom?
He'll be.
The porta potty.
What kind of money are they asking for?
Couple grand?
They're not specific, but they would like their porta potties for the months of May through September. So I don't, you know.
Normally it's like 300 or 400, I think.
It's 400 on a council Maddox.
Let's come back to it. He'll be in here in a minute.
Okay, keep moving. Kate?
Cape Sharks Pop Warner.
Is that you, George?
That's Lynn, too.
Lynn?
We'll come back to that.
Yeah.
Child's Beach House is Lynn's?
Children's Beach House is Lynn's.
If he doesn't make it pretty soon, where he's gonna give?
Boy Scout troop number 95.
Okay, 200 from my, somebody make a motion for me?
Youth activity.
So moved. From Finley, 200.
Second.
Move to second that we allow 200 from youth activity for myself. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
Yes, motion passed.
Peninsula Bluegrass.
Susan Webb saved your honey, buddy.
We'll do 100. What, we do 100last year for each councilman?
Yes, we've done.
It's countywide.
Where we at, where we at? Where, it's Peninsula, it's a.
It's, they do it out.
It's everybody.
Marlboro Museum.
But it's a community.
$100 each.
Each? Okay. Move to second that we give $100 each. Mr. Cole?
Number six.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes, motion passed.
What did he give me on the other two?
Ocean View Boy Scout troop 281.
Youth, $500.
Motion view?
Mr. Cole, second.
Okay, just move to second that we give Mr. Cole's district for Ocean View. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes, motion passed.
North Laurel Elementary School. And we've done that both with Mr. Phillips and Mr. Dukes.
And what are they asking for?
Well, they're saying a cost to compete for a team is $550. Previously, you gave them $350.
The stacking.
It's the stacking.
Stacking team?
Sports stacking?
It's stacking books in the library.
$350 for Mr. Dukes or both of us?
$350, $100 for Mr. Phillips, $250 for Mr. Dukes.
I'll second that.
That's all right.
Is that okay? Okay. $250 for Mr. Dukes and $100 for Mr. Phillips. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes, motion passed.
Delaware Fish and Wildlife.
$100 each.
Second.
Move to second.
What's it for?
Their outdoor expo.
For outdoor environmental camp.
Okay.
That's good.
Move to second, $100 each. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Activity?
Yes.
Because it is environment or kids.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes.
Nanticoke River.
What did he do last year, 500?
Last year, yes, 500, Mr. Dukes.
I give 500 for my council Maddox.
Second.
Move to second at about 500 for Mr. Dukes. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Second, yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes.
Now, back to Mr. Rogers.
Yeah, we will.
Broadkill Beach Preservation Association.
Whatever's that building, tell me. That's just for the potties, right?
Yes.
That's not their annual thing.
We said 2,000.
No, I suppose not. They're just asking for the potties for May through September.
They'll get a letter for the grant.
Big one, yeah. Now, you've done 400 in the past.
That's not gonna cut four potties this year.
600.
Okay.
I think that's what it was last year, wasn't it, Robin?
I was thinking 400 and some, I can't remember.
Whatever the bill is, that's what we, I mean, 500 bucks, whatever, $500.
Five should do it.
Give them $1,000 and tell them to put the rest on next year.
Yeah, just pay the bill. We'll just pay the bill and charge it there and leave it open. Okay.
We give them $500, okay, whatever you want to do.
And just pull it off the grant?
They submit the bill when they get it.
Okay.
So what are you doing?
We're going to pay the bill right from the grant and...
Tell me how much it is.
For a maximum on it or something?
$600
or something.
Okay. Okay. So basically, we're going to keep moving and not put a mail on, okay?
Right. Cape Sharks, Pop Warner.
You, Mr. Rod?
I don't know what that is. What is that? Sports, youth activity?
Yes.
Have you done it before?
Yeah. You did $450 before.
Okay, $450. Youth activity?
Youth activity.
Need a second?
Second.
$450?
Yes.
All right. Move second. We lot $450 for Mr. Rogers. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes. Next one's yours, Lee.
Children's Beach House.
Last time. We did it before.
15, community improvement.
Yeah. Make a motion.
Second.
$1,500?
Yes.
Okay. It's been moved second. We did a lot $1,500 from community improvements. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes, motion passed.
That's it. Thanks.
Thank you, Susan. Introduce an ordinance. Anything, Jim?
I think we do. We have to reintroduce one due to a name change on the application. It's an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in AR1 agricultural residential district for athletic fields and related parking to be located in certain parcels of land lying and being in Baltimore 100 Sussex County containing 8.25 acres, more or less. And this is being reintroduced because of a letter being received requesting that the applicant be referred to as John Gilman, and it was filed as John Gilman Percy, Inc.
Okay.
I introduce it.
Okay, that's cool.
An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an MRRPC medium density residential district residential plan community for a central drinking water facility located on a certain parcel of land in Dagsburg 100 containing 1.03 acres, Tidewater Utilities.
I'll introduce it.
That's it.
Additional business?
Is none. Move on.
My name is Dan Kramer. I got two items I'm questioning on. This morning you were talking about the wellhead protection areas in the resource area. When you were talking about two issues here, about having the buffer zone, which is what, 30 feet, and the state law requires a well to be 150 feet from the line. So how does that interfere with a buffer? And how, when whatever Kevin Burdett wanted to add on where you would be allowed to drive carts through the wellhead protection zone, which is 100, 200 foot diameter area. How does that even begin to come into there? Doesn't even affect it, does it? At all. So that should be taken into consideration in that. The second question I have is how can you guys change the date of when an ordinance goes into effect? An ordinance is supposed to be written to be passable. And if it doesn't say anything, it says, in state law, it says, except as otherwise provided in this title, every ordinance shall become effective immediately unless the ordinance itself stipulates a different date. If you don't have a different date in there, how can you change and say, well, we're going to wait 3 months or 6 months to put something into effect? Doesn't say that in state law. Why don't you guys start working with the state law and doing what the correct thing is? And by the way, Councilman Cole, he's been wanting to throw me out. He's not going to get the chance because, you know what? I'm getting ready to pack up and leave the state.
You.
April Fool's Day.
You got it. April Fool's. And, boy, he bit right in. Thank you. Well, have a good day. I'll be dang. I mean, it'll be a cold day in hell. I won't be here. Thank you.
We'd miss you.
Oh, Lordy.
Has anybody got a job for that man? He needs a job.
Get a job.
Okay, we're done this morning's session. Oh, if you want to shift gears, and we'll just take a second. And
you can just give it
how you want to shift gears? Yeah. Okay. Well, let's do, everybody go back, work on the budget or whatever they gotta do.
I'll work on that.
Well, if you'd like, I wouldn't mind editing some of your stuff.
I won't argue that for us.
Trying to kill us.
There's another one.
I thought you were bailing too. Are you okay, Ron? How are you okay? All right, we'll start the afternoon session, which we were supposed to start when we came back in. We apologize, and I'll turn it over to our county lawyer, Mr. Griffin, to explain how we run our hearings versus planning zoning. Mr. Griffin?
When council holds public hearings on zoning applications, they're legislative hearings. Council uses the information that presented during those hearings to decide whether or not to grant an application. After each application is called or identified, Mr. Lank will tell the council what happened at the time the public hearing occurred before the Planning and Zoning Commission. After he's done that, and there have been any questions from councilmen that have been answered, then we'll recognize the person who's filed the application, or if you're represented by a lawyer, we'll recognize the person representing you. What will happen then is that you'll present your application. If you are representing yourself, when you're asked to come forward, come down to the podium, state your name and your address, if you will, before you make your statement. That allows us to preserve and understand who's making what statements. After you've made your presentation, members of council might ask you a question about some aspect of your application. After all those questions have been answered, then we'll see if there's anybody here who is also supporting or in opposition to your application, and they will also be given a chance to speak. After all parties have been given a chance to speak, council has the right at that point to close the public hearing and make a decision. If they choose, they could also defer and put off the decision to a later date. But as long as the Planning and Zoning Commission has made a recommendation, council can take action. If you have a cell phone, please turn it off or turn it to silent service. Does anyone have any questions about the procedure? Thank you. Mr. Lang.
Yes, thank you. First item on the agenda is a continuation of a public hearing that was opened on March 11th of 2008. The application, conditional use number 1721, the application of Ralph N. Crum, to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a multifamily dwelling structure, proposing two units to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 5,730 square feet, more or less, lying at the southwest corner of Route 54 and Monroe Avenue. We opened a public hearing on March 11th. There was no one present on behalf of the application. The council did continue the public hearing. I wrote a letter to Mr. Crum on March 14th, and he responded on March 20th that he would be here this morning, and he's present. And just for the record, we did hear comments from DLDOT, the County Engineering Department, Sussex Conservation District. Mr. Crum was present at the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting and gave testimony. There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to the application. At the conclusion of the public hearings, the commission discussed the application. Mr. Smith stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use 1721 for Ralph N. Crum based upon the record and for the following reasons. One, the applicant is seeking approval for a two-unit multifamily dwelling structure. The existing structure with two units has been on at this location since approximately 1973. The County Engineering Department has already allocated two EDUs for the building, and there are currently two sewer connections. The applicant has stated that there are other similar structures in the area, and the project will not adversely affect the neighborhood. The property is in a development district according to the county land use plan. This approval is subject to the following conditions. One, there shall be no more than two units on the property. Two, the final site plan shall show all required parking. Three, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion and a second and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated. I've received no additional comments from any agency or individual to date. And that's all I have, gentlemen, unless you have questions.
Questions? Jim?
Is Mr. Crum, you're here. Yeah. Would you come forward and tell us why you would like to have this approved, if you would?
Gentlemen, my name is Ralph Crum. I live in Allen, Maryland, but I've owned property in good old Sussex County for 35 years. In February 1973, my wife and I acquired a two-apartment building. We moved it out of Ocean City, and it was put on a lot in Edgewater Acres. Where is this spot located? If some of you are familiar with that part of the county, we're just three blocks west of Harpoon Hannah's Restaurant. I'm at the corner of Route 54 and Monroe Avenue. About 6 years ago, a young girl left the bar in Ocean City, came flying over the bridge, and crashed into my building. 2 weeks after this happened, I had a phone call from a Delaware State Trooper. He said, "Do you own such and such a building?" I said, "Yes, I do." He said, "Well, there's been an accident." I said, "When did it happen?" He said, "Well, 2 weeks ago." But he said, "I had trouble getting up with you." Well, after we settled with the insurance company, we decided to completely remodel the building, and we spent $125,000 completely rebuilding the structure. New carpet, new appliances, central heat up, central heat down, electric meters up, electric meters down, a brand new structure. And that's the way it has been ever since. 4 years ago, I received a letter from the Planning and Zoning stating that this two-apartment building was in violation of the code for Edgewater Acres. Now, Edgewater Acres is a residential community of primarily single-family homes. There are two or three dwellings that have more than one apartment in them, and I was one of those three. So we appeared before the Planning and Zoning on Valentine's Day, the 14th of February. I presented my case, and you've heard Mr. Lang repeat exactly what they decided at that time. I have paid taxes in Somerset County for the last 35 years. The utility division has...
You mean Sussex County?
I'm sorry. I live in Somerset County. Apologies.
It'll sound better if you say Sussex.
Yeah, Sussex County.
That could be a no vote. Wink.
I sent the checks.
You've been sending them to the...
to Georgetown, place. Delaware. Okay. Okay. So I've paid taxes for 35 years in Sussex County. I've been issued two EDUs by the utility division. And with your approval, I'd like to continue to keep this building in Edgewater Acres because I like it there. And that's why I'm here today.
What's the position of Edgewater Acres? It is a subdivision, private subdivision?
Yes, yes.
Do they have a homeowners association?
Yes, they do.
And what is the position then?
Well, I talked to the manager, not the manager, but the director of the homeowners association. Mm-hmm. And he said we had some reservation about your having a two-apartment building in that subdivision. But he said, I don't know what the county will decide, but he said, personally, I think they're going to have a tough time denying you the right to keep it there since you've been in there for 35 years and paid taxes to the county.
So it's been two units for 35 years?
Units for 35 years, yes, sir.
Day one.
I think the difficulty was that it was moved in as actually, it was actually two units, but it was permitted as a single.
When it was moved in 35 years ago, it moved it in.
Then nobody knew. Basically, engineering, when they went in and did the sewer district, realized there was two EDUs, and they gave them two EDUs, and we were never advised.
So even though the Edgewater Acres probably has restrictions against multi-units, right?
Yeah.
Nobody, it appears that
There's nothing in the record that they're challenging?
Okay. The only complaints I had, George, I ran into some students, and you know they're not too quiet in the summertime, but I ran into many, many families. The building has not been rented for a period of 5 years now since I remodeled it. It's been vacant.
Okay.
Anyone who has any further questions of the applicant?
No.
Can we grant this? Does this override any covenants within that?
No.
Well, they could still come back and sue.
Well, they had a right to be here, and then.
But his question is, does it override? And it doesn't.
No.
Private deed restrictions are stronger than ours.
So they could still take him civilly to.
If they chose to spend their money that way.
Right.
Most homeowners don't have enough.
I would think if they had a problem with it, they would have been here.
Yeah. It's been posted. I think our annual due is about $35 a year, which I have paid to the association.
To Delaware.
Delaware.
You paid him here,
to Edgewater.
He's talking about the homeowners.
Yeah. The homeowners association.
I didn't want you to send those to Maryland.
No, I'm not going to send those to Somerset County.
Thank you, Mr. Crum.
All right.
Is there anybody else here who wishes to be heard on this application? We announced that the first time this came up, and no one identified themselves. So can we take it that there's no opposition?
You can take it.
Here so. We'll close the public hearing.
Can you read it, please, Jim?
On the. This is the title, an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a multifamily dwelling structure, two units, to be located in a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 5,730 square feet, more or less.
Motion, Joe?
So moved.
Second. Been moved and seconded that we approve conditional use 1721 with the three conditions. Mr. Cole?
I'll vote yes with the conditions, and because it's set a historical use of approximately 35 years of being a two-unit dwelling.
Mr. Phillips?
Based on the record and recommendation of planning and zoning, I vote yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes with the conditions.
Mr. Rogers?
Based on the record, P&Z, I vote yes.
My vote is yes also with the three conditions and five findings. Motion passed. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Second item is conditional use number 1731, the application of Whitewater Enterprises Incorporated. Consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for an office and shop for a well drilling business to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 1.99 acres more or less, lying south of Route 16, 300 feet west of Route 30. The Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on this application on March 13th of 2008. We heard comments from DLDOT, the County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division. Robert Allen White Jr. and Brian White were present on behalf of their application and gave testimony. There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to the application. At the conclusion of the public hearings, the Commission discussed this application. Mr. Burton stated he would move that the Commission recommend approval of conditional use number 1731 for Whitewater Enterprises Incorporated based on the record and for the following reasons. One, the site is at the intersection of Route 16 and Route 30. There are other commercially zoned properties at this intersection. The use of the property for a well drilling company is appropriate for this location. Two, the project with the conditions and stipulations placed upon it will not adversely affect neighboring properties. Three, the operation of the well drilling business will not generate a significant increase in traffic or noise since the majority of the company's work will be performed off-site. Four, this recommendation is subject to the following conditions. A, there will only be one sign on the premise that shall not exceed 32 square feet in size. B, subject to DLDOT's approval, there shall only be one entrance to the property. The entrance location shall be shown on the final site plan. C, all outside storage and dumpsters shall be screened from view of adjacent properties. D, all parking, dumpsters, and storage areas shall be designated on the final site plan. E, no more than 10 employees shall be permitted as part of the business. F, the location of any required stormwater management areas shall be shown on the final site plan. G, any security lighting shall be screened so that it does not shine on adjacent roadways or properties. H, the final site plan shall be subject to review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion and second and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions and stipulations stated. That motion carried 4-0. For the benefit of council, I passed down copies of the survey site plan for this application. I received no additional comments from any agency or individual to date since the public hearing. And that's all I have, gentlemen, unless you have questions.
Is Mr. White here?
Brian White, Lewis, Delaware. The main reason for this, of course, is to relocate the business. We currently rent property, and we purchased the property from our grandfather, Jim Reed, which is located near his home. And just very simple, just trying to get a exposed company business in a good location.
Yeah, and it should be said that they outgrabbed their home base. They were at their home and their business grew, and they pursued commercial area to get it out of the residential area. So they did the right thing.
Yep, absolutely.
Anyone have any questions of Mr. White? Let's see if there's anyone else here. Is there anyone else here, either in support of or in opposition to the application that's before us here of Whitewater Enterprises, Inc.? Let the record show there's no one else present who wishes to be heard on this application. Do you have any questions of Mr. White?
I don't think so. No question?
Could you respond? No, I don't think I do it.
That's a good thing.
This is right next to the old Armory Reserve Center at 1630.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Which is used for a welding and fabrication shop, I believe.
It's Ironworks now.
Ironworks is there now. Ironworks. It's huge. Same thing.
It's commercial property now.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. White.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Ordinance granting conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for an office and shop for a well drilling business to be located in a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, containing 1.99 acres more or less.
Make a motion we approve conditional use number 1731 Whitewater Enterprises with the conditions imposed by PNZ.
Where are those? I'm trying to find those conditions.
It's ABC.
A through H.
Okay, I'm looking on the computer.
It's on page 4.
Yep.
The only thing I don't think that we'll probably be able to govern, Mr. Cole says, they don't have hours in there, but number of employees. It's a huge area out there. So yep. They only have 10 people, but I don't know how we police that.
Yeah.
I don't have it on here. Why aren't you got all these uses?
Second.
Okay, okay.
Go for it.
You back in a second?
Yeah.
Okay. So moved to second that we approve conditional use 1731 with A through H conditions. And 4 findings. Mr. Cole.
Yes, the conditions, and it's also contiguous to some commercial applications.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes, based on finding and planning, is there any other? Yes.
Mr. Dukes.
Yes, with conditions.
Mr. Rogers.
Yes, with conditions.
My vote is yes, also with A through H and the conditions and the 4 facts. Motion passed. Thank you. Mr. Lang. Going to do both of them together,
Marsh? Oh, no.
At the Planning and Zoning Commission, it was asked that changes zone number 1637 and conditional use 1775, both being application of East Market LLC for the same properties, be consolidated into one public hearing. I assume that Mr. Fuqua being present on behalf of the applicant, that's the intent for the day. Gentlemen, for the record, change of zone 1637 is the application of East Market LLC to amend the comprehensive zoning map from an AR1 agriculture residential district to a MR medium density residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, for land lying at the southeasterly corner and the northeasterly corner of Warwick Road being Road 310A and Blue Claw Road being Road 313A, and to be located on 22.49 acres, more or less. Conditional use number 1775, the application of East Market LLC is an application to consider the conditional use of land in a MR medium density residential district for multifamily dwelling structures, proposing 70 units to be located on certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 22.49 acres, more or less, lying at the southeasterly corner and the northeasterly corner of Warwick Road, also known as Road 310A, and Blue Claw Road being known, also known as Road 313A. The Planning and Zoning Commission held public hearing on these applications combined on the 13th of March of 2008. The applicants provided the commission with exhibit booklets. They considered both applications. The County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division provided comments. We received comments from DelDOT. The commission was advised that the plus comments were received and that they are included in exhibit booklet volume 2. The applicant's responses, the Division of Water Resources of DENREC advised that the department is in receipt of a preliminary site investigation and is anticipating a detailed soil investigation report, and that that department conveys that all requirements of section 9.00000 of the preliminary wastewater treatment and disposal review of the regulations governing design, installation, operation of on-site wastewater treatment and disposal systems have been met. And based on their findings, the department believes the proposed project would be feasible under current criteria cited in these regulations.
Again.
Commission found that Kevin Whitaker of East Market LLC was present with James Fuquay Jr. attorney and Gary Couples of ECI, also referred to Engineering Consultants International LLC, gave testimony and responded to questions raised by the commission. Mr. Fuquay submitted proposed or possible findings of fact for the change of zone 1637, possible findings of fact for conditional use 1775, and possible conditions of approval for conditional use 1775. There were no parties present in support of the application. There were six parties present and gave testimony in opposition to the application with reasons. There was also a letter submitted on behalf of another neighbor in opposition that supported the concerns of their neighbors. That is a part of the record. Conclusion of the public hearing, the commission discussed the applications. Both applications were deferred for further consideration, and the commission has not yet met to act on those applications. I received no additional comments or from any agency or individual on these applications. And I'm asked a question, Mr. Fuquay, if I may. Did you submit exhibit booklets for enough for council also?
Yeah. I think Fuquay is on the edge on this one.
I'm going to have to go get them. I couldn't find them. But we do have exhibit. I have two. Exhibit booklets, volume number one.
I think Fuquay is going over the edge on this one.
Yeah.
Look at the graphic.
And I have two. Exhibit book is volume number two. Is what I had in the files. And since I can go down and see if I have any more.
Well, you better. I mean, this is going to be tough.
We get them usually for just the commission members, and then we get them revised for council.
And the legal counsel is unprepared?
That's all I have, unless you have questions.
Go ahead, Jim. Do you want to wait for the booklets?
No, that's okay. Yeah, we did, as Mr. Lank stated, well, for the record, my name's Jim Fuquay. I'm an attorney here in Georgetown. I'm representing the applicant, East Market LLC, on this application. As Mr. Lank stated, there were exhibit books submitted, which you have a couple copies of, but there were 15 copies of that submitted, so they're probably in a pile down in the office somewhere. With me is Kevin Whitaker, who is the principal of East Market LLC, and Gary Couples from ECI, which are the site engineers and designers. As Lawrence stated, there's actually two applications before you. One is an application for a change of zone from AR to MR. The other is a conditional use application for multifamily use. And as Lawrence stated, I'm just going to present everything in this one presentation, and that'll just be incorporated technically into the second. So it will just be one application. I don't think I can get it over quite as fast as those first two applications you had, but I'll try not to take too long. The land comprising this application, which is shown on the plot over there, contains a total of 22.49 acres, It's located at the southeast intersection of Warwick Road, and it's also on both sides of Blue Claw Road, which is...
this is Warwick Road right here, Blue Claw Road right there.
You deny this, man. You can buy those.
The southern boundary of the property is actually the Indian River. The site is just west of Warwick Park and Warwick Cove and the Gull Point developments, just for your reference. The proposed development would contain a total of 70 residential units. They'd be a mixture of single-family, duplex, and townhouse buildings, and they would be under a condominium form of ownership. The mixture is two single-family units, 14 duplexes, and 54 townhome units. The 70 units on the 22.5 total acreage is a gross density of 3.1 units per acre. The site itself is mostly wooded. The development plan was designed to preserve a significant portion of the existing wooded areas, and after attending the PLUS meeting and based on some suggestions from the agency's comments, modifications were made to the site plan to increase the wooded area, and approximately 38% of the woods will be preserved as they are, and in addition, there will be some additional reforestation done. The plan provides buffers along both the east and the west boundaries, which would be along Warwick Road here. You can see there's a buffer from the internal road along the Warwick Road, and then also on the east side, there's a buffer provided along the boundary there. In addition, there's a minimum 50-foot buffer provided from the Indian River. It's more than that, but the 50-foot requirement is required by the ordinance, and that is complied with. The total open space as shown on that plan would be about 15.6 acres, which is approximately 70% of the entire site. There'd be one entrance to the development. That would be from Blue Claw Road. Again, this would be the entrance right down here. It's a separated entrance. It would be landscaped, and there'd be a development sign located there. In addition, DelDOT requested that there be a gated emergency access provided from Warwick Road, and that access would be coordinated with emergency services for entry. And that is, again, located... If you look on the plan, you'll see a little cut in here that would be down in this area. And as I said, that would be gated. It wouldn't be used for normal traffic in and out of the development, only for emergency purposes. DelDOT issued a letter of no objection regarding these entrance locations. That letter is dated February 26, 2008, and a copy of that is in your is in the file. Also, as requested by DelDOT, the developer will be granting some additional right-of-way to DelDOT along both Blue Claw Road and Warwick Road. On leaving the development, basically the main access from the development will be back to Route 24, and there's actually three roads that connect to Route 24. Warwick Road right here goes directly up to Route 24, and then if you just come down here to this intersection, basically, there's a split there, and there's two roads that go directly to Route 24, which is Gull Point Road and Rosedale Road. Prior to filing this application, DelDOT was requested to do a support facilities report that was issued by DelDOT, as I said, prior to filing this application, and that indicated that based on the size of this proposed development, a traffic impact study was not required by DelDOT. That support facilities report also concluded that the roads impacted by this proposed development would operate at a level of service A with this development. And those roads currently operate at a level of service A. So with this development, they would continue to operate at a level of service A. So there'd be no significant impact on those road level of services. And again, that facilities report is in the record and in your file. At the planning and zoning and hearing back on the 13th, there was some concern expressed by some of the area residents regarding traffic, and particularly traffic at Route 24, where these roads intersect. And even though it wasn't required by DelDOT, subsequent to that meeting, we did have a traffic impact analysis done by Traffic Planning and Design, Inc., who are professional traffic engineers. That report is dated March 28, 2008. A copy of that has been submitted for the record, and it's again in the file. That study focused on the intersections of those three roads I just mentioned with Route 24, and that report concluded that with or without our development, all three of those intersections would operate at the same level of service, which is a level of service C or better. And that would be during the AM, PM peak hours, as well as the summer Saturday peak hours. And that report goes on to state its opinion that this development would have no impact on the surrounding roadway network from a functional traffic perspective. So again, it's not a large development, and the impact of it will not be significant. As far as the water for the development, for both domestic use and fire protection, that would be provided by Tidewater Utility Company, public utility company regulated by DENREC and the Public Service Commission. Sewer would be addressed by a wastewater treatment and disposal system approved by DENREC. That would be located on the north side of Blue Claw Road, and that again would be operated by a licensed public utility company. Soil studies were performed by Atlantic Resource Management, and I think as Mr. Lang stated, a statement of feasibility as far as the location of the sewer treatment and disposal area was issued by the Division of Water Resources of DENREC, and that is dated February 14, 2008. And again, a copy of that sewer feasibility from DENREC is in the record. Other utilities serving the development would be electric by Delmarva Power, TV and internet by Mediacom and Verizon with telephone. And again, in the exhibit books that were submitted, there are ability to serve letters from those utility companies. There would be a homeowners association, or in this case, a condominium association, which would be organized, and all owners would be required to be members of it. Their function would be to enforce the restrictions and to manage and maintain all the common areas and erect facilities. The site is in the Indian River Fire Company service area. There's a station located nearby in Oak Orchard. It's in the Indian River School District. And shopping and services are available east on Route 24. And again, I'm sure you've been down there recently, but as you know, there's considerable commercial construction going on down there, and there's going to be some additional shopping centers opening down there in the very near future. That is in close proximity to the site. And then, of course, west on Route 24 is the town of Millsboro. And again, that's also a commercial center. In preparing this application, ECI undertook a number of studies in order to plan the site. They're also contained in the exhibit book that was submitted. And just for the record, those studies included a phase one environmental site assessment that indicated there were no significant environmental issues existing on the site. Soil investigation by Atlantic Resource Management, which I mentioned. There was an endangered species letter from the U.S. Department of the Interior, and natural heritage letter from DENREC that indicated no adverse impact on the site from the development. And there was a cultural resource study done by Dr. Ed Otter, which again is a somewhat of an archaeological study, and that indicated the existing conditions of the site. There were no known or found cemeteries located on the site. In addition, in the exhibit book, and this isn't something that you are totally familiar with, but in doing subdivisions, we normally prepare what we call a Section 999C report, which is a summary of 14 different items that are considered by the Planning Commission on a subdivision. They're equally applicable to almost any type of development, so we did prepare one of those. It's in the exhibit book. Obviously, this is not a subdivision, but again, I think that summarizes some applicable items of any development that we would suggest you take a look at. And also, because this is in the environmentally sensitive development area, in compliance with that ordinance, a environmental assessment report was prepared. The environmental assessment report is in tab 6 of your exhibit book. The 999C report is in tab 8 of your exhibit book. As I just stated, this site is in the environmentally sensitive development area of the current Sussex County land use plan. As you know, that environmentally sensitive development area is a designated growth area under the comprehensive plan. Also, the site is in a level 3 area under the state strategies for spending plan. And as indicated in Connie Holland's Plus response letter that's dated March 13, 2008, which again is in the record, from the Plus meeting, the state indicated that they had no objections to this proposed development. Also, the developer has been working with the state agencies to address the concerns that they did express at the Plus meetings. The proposed development is consistent with the mixture of development that already exists in the area. Again, I know you gentlemen are all very familiar with that area. To the east of the site is the Rosedale Beach Oak Orchard area, which is a predominantly developed residential area.
Parcels here. It's actually comprised of three separate parcels. Mr. Whitaker has already purchased one of these parcels. He has contracts to purchase the other two parcels. Again, to the east of the site, in the immediate area, Warwick Park is located right here. As you know, that's a fairly large single-family residential development. Gulf Point is located right here. Gulf Point is an existing condominium development. Gulf Point is zoned. Part of it is zoned HR, high density, and part of it is zoned marine. And as you recall, marine actually permits high density development. And I'm not sure what the density of Gulf Point is, but it's a fairly high density compared to most developments. Adjacent to Gulf Point is the state boat parking lot and boat ramp there. And next to that is a small development, Warwick Cove, which I think is 14 units. It's a small condominium townhouse project. Mr. Whitaker actually built that development also, so he's very familiar with the area. And then to the west of the site, there's a small Pine Point Mobile Home Park that's located just on the other side of Warwick Road right here. I'm not sure how many units are in there. When I looked at it, I think it's maybe about 20 mobile homes or 24 mobile homes, something like that, located in that area. So that's the nature of the area. There is existing conditional use approval. There is existing high density condominium townhouse development located in close proximity. So. We think from the nature of the area that what was proposed here and what was designed here was designed to fit in with the type of development that has been occurring in that area. And we think that this is consistent with those uses, those densities, and the zoning that's already located in the immediate area. And as to the site plan itself, what I'm going to do is turn it over to Gary Couples. He'll review the site plan with you, and then I'll have a few other comments.
Good afternoon. My name is Gary Couples. I'm a registered professional land surveyor and a professional planner, and I'm employed by ECI, 220 Rehoboth Avenue, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. Jim's done a phenomenal job of going over the site plan with you, and what I was trying to listen and try to decide what it is that he forgot. And one of the issues, obviously, is the wetlands. Well, surprise, surprise, the wetlands on this property are located right along the river. There's a wetland line that is shown on the site plan. We have respected that wetland boundary and provided the required buffer. The other issue when we were talking about wetlands is that of a proposed marina. On the plan itself, and in the river, There are two docks that are shown, one of which is existing. There's an existing T-dock out there now that has four slips on it. You can dock your boat on either side of the T, that's how you'd get the four. We have made some preliminary discussions with DENREC with regard to the establishment of a 24 to 25 slip marina. Those discussions have been fairly positive. If a marina is eventually part of this proposal, it will be a green marina. It will provide a pump out station, which I think would be the second pump out on the Indian River. The first ones there at the state park at the Indian River Inlet. This would be the second pump-out state location. And the discharge from that marina would then be taken and treated along with the rest of the household waste made a part of the development.
The marina is not part of this application, though?
The marina is part of the plan as it's presented.
But it's with the council doesn't have the authority to approve the marina.
I understand. Denrec does.
Okay.
Yes. But we wanted to make sure that everybody understood exactly what it is that we were pursuing.
Which dock is existing? The one to the right or the one?
This one right here.
Okay.
Matter of fact, on the site plan, it shows it.
Okay.
The woodlands, if you go through the booklet, you can get a flavor for what the woodlands really are. There's a lot of understory in there where the idea is to get in and try to clean some of that understory out and maintain the specimen trees and supplement those trees where appropriate. I'm not going to bore you with the details of the percentages of woodlands that we're trying to preserve. Mr. Fuqua's done a great job in discussing that. Talk a little bit about the open space and recreational opportunities. Obviously, this is a waterway development with significant recreational opportunities to include a clubhouse, a swimming pool, concrete and wood decks, tot lot, walking trails with exercise stations, gazebos. Obviously, the river is certainly a recreational opportunity. The 24 to 25 foot slip, a 25 slip marina, if permitted, along with the facilities that are normally part of a marina. As it stands right now, a total amount of open space reserved as part of the project is 15.7 acres. Pretty significant. With regard to water, that is going to be public. That's going to be Tidewater is going to be the supplier. As far as sanitary sewage, the idea is to construct a wastewater treatment plant to develop highly treated effluent. That treatment plant would be located in this vicinity of the upper parcel. This area here would be the disposal. One of the issues that was brought forth during the Planning Commission meeting was, what are you going to do to screen the wastewater treatment plant and to control odors? We're going to do exactly what we've done on other projects. We've enclosed the wastewater treatment. And what I have here today is some color photographs of typical facilities that we've done in the past.
Thank you. We can pass them down for you if you want.
Pardon?
We can pass those down.
Oh, okay.
Those color photographs are typical of what has been done in the past. Two of those facilities are currently under the ownership and direction of Tidewater Utilities. The other one is Artesian. What normally occurs with facilities such as this is that they are, as required by state law, turned over to a publicly regulated utility. And in this case, it will either be Tidewater or Artesian. We haven't got that far as to determining who's going to have that facility. The size of the structure itself probably be about half of what you see there, because this is only a 70-unit development. It is not a couple hundred units like some of the developments that you're seeing there.
Before you get away from that, Mr. Couples, where's the county? How close is the county's line to here?
It's pretty far away. The in discussions with the county, they did not anticipate sewering this district for about 10 years, if at that point within their comprehensive plan.
Okay.
But certainly, if county sewer service was made available, we'd be more than happy to tie into that rather than to build our own.
May I ask a question?
Sure.
I know you told us where the community treatment system would be located. Could you tell council whether the operation of the facility in that location would in any way impact the property that's located around it that's in other ownership? I think that it looks like that question came up at the commission hearing.
I'd be hard-pressed to see an impact, quite frankly, because the facilities that you're seeing, well, this color photography, they're right in the middle of pretty high-end developments, and they've not created any problems with those developments. So I guess an existing development, I'd be hard-pressed to see that that's an issue.
Is it farmland around the back three sides of the community treatment?
No, it's mixed. There's, and I think you go to this plan here, you can see that it's mixed. There's housing developments, there's a mobile home park, there's single-family houses, there's the primary agricultural use of the property is here.
I think that's what's held us up.
And that was another consideration that was brought up during the Planning Commission meeting, was the buffer. Some of the adjoiners were concerned that they farmed that property, and they wanted assurances that this project would not impede their ability to farm that land. We've provided the 30-foot buffer as required by the county to do exactly that, to buffer this development from the adjoining farmland. So we took note of that right out of the gate.
The buffer would be around the portion that's going to be developed rather than around the community treatment portion. Is that correct?
The buffer will be right here.
Yep. Okay.
As it stands right now, we had anticipated putting the wastewater treatment building in this vicinity. It can go anywhere. It's just anywhere on that lot. It could go down this corner. As long as we have access to it, they obviously want public access to the wastewater plant. It doesn't really matter. We thought where we put it there, it would sort of complement. There's an existing structure there. We sort of felt that was the place to put it, because otherwise it would have been down this location. There's nothing there. So it's just a matter of preference. We can put it anywhere we necessary to would make people happy. The other issue that you'd want to look at here is the stormwater management. We are required to treat all the stormwater prior to its release to the tidal body, that being the Indian River. We're going to do that, just that, utilizing stormwater pond and the Durham stormwater model, which is a new model that the Sussex County Conservation Service has recommended us to use where we are discharging to a tidal body. And that model assures highly renovated stormwater into the tidal body that it's going to discharge to. State Planning Agency, there was a little foul up in the letter. We have a letter there that corrected Connie Holland's letter, and that they have no objections to the project. Overall, in terms of project compatibility with the surrounding area, we sort of feel like it fits in. In terms of density, in terms of what the project is, in terms of zoning, certainly that is our opinion. Thank you.
Jim, when you say that Connie has no objection, they did in her letter, I'm looking through all these things, they've made recommendations, and you had responses. Some of them fall short, some of them, like say, they recommended... A quick one was 50 or 100 feet 100 off, right, 100-foot buffer, and you got 50 feet. So I'm just saying, is it true to, or wouldn't it be more correct to say that she doesn't object if you followed the recommendations? Now, if she knew that you weren't going to follow the recommendations, does she still support the development, even though you're not going to have a 100-foot buffer, or... You're maybe not protecting the forest, the trees, and you know, there's a number of things. When you said you were working with her, when I went through the plus comments,
I can do.
Could you tell me what you like on page 3 of 19 of the plus comments? It says natural and cultural resources, right? They've got some recommendations, and I go back to your responses. You really didn't respond to too much of them. You're going to allow them to visit the site, but there are other...
You talking about SHPA?
No, I'm talking about natural, I'm talking about, Jim knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, and Mr. Cole, I mean, the...
The 50-foot buffer, the 100-year floodplain, the 16 acres proposed. In other words, they have some other things in here, and they, like, minimizing some of the taking of the trees. They said you could maybe shift things.
Yeah, and to answer your question, and a couple of things. Number one, the state recommends things that if you complied with everything they recommended, and I'm not being smart, if you did everything they recommended, you wouldn't be able to develop the property because they prefer this and that and everything else. So there's a compromising that occurs, et cetera. Now, for instance, the state would prefer to see a 100-foot buffer, and that's a pretty standard recommendation they make.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The law requires a 50-foot buffer. You know, we have at least a 50-foot, probably more like a 70-foot at its closest points. And again, complies with all the requirements, satisfies them. Going back to your question, the letter from Mrs. Holland from the State Planning Office says the state had no objection to the development of the property. However, through comments from agencies, we did have concerns and or recommendations regarding development of the property. So to answer your question, no, the state has no objection to this. And for instance, one of the recommendations they made, the original plan had a much larger stormwater pond located in the middle.
Okay.
Still got more trees and everything else. And the state recommended that it could be a smaller pond relocated. It would have less impact. And we worked those kind of things.
So that's going to be left now in all trees in the center there where the pond was?
So it'll be cleared for some walkways, but for the most part, it'll remain wooded.
Okay. Anything else you can point out where you responded to their suggestion?
There was some pullbacks to create larger buffers in there. What we ended up doing was the rec facility. There is a clubhouse and a swimming pool and an area for the community to congregate. That was moved down here to make this more of a central point for everyone, so everyone could enjoy the view, which is a beautiful view down here on the river, rather than just have units loaded down here. So that became more of a community feature there. The trail system, which was put in. Again, there wasn't a whole lot that can be changed on that. It's a fairly concise piece of property.
On the being compatible with the surrounding area, that it, you've got to go down the road a ways to get the similar densities, correct? Because nothing contiguous.
What do you mean ways?
Well, I don't know. What's a ways in your mind? I mean,
one block.
Tell me what we got.
All right, this is our property.
Right.
There's a piece between us and Gull Point, which is basically farmed.
Right.
And Gull Point's on the other side of that.
Okay.
All right, so that piece would be approximately at the end. Well, it's not even as far as the end of the boat.
But that's the closest, right? Multi-family.
The only way it could be closer would be if it was on the next property.
That's what I'm saying. Okay, that's a close, because beyond that, it's we get down to Warwick and.
Well, then next to that is then Warwick Cove, right, which is a conditional use.
Right, going the other way, and the other road is all single-family homes still, right?
Now there's a mobile home park on the other road.
Still down on the other
Warwick Road is the 20-unit mobile home park,
which has been there forever, right? Pretty much.
Yeah. Yours has been there quite a while.
It's conditional use.
I guess there was just a couple of things I wanted to follow up on. Gary, I mentioned the location of the rec facilities, which are down on the water. If you're familiar with that area, the docks that are being proposed, there's all the properties along here basically have docks. Gull Point has docks, the state has docks, and I think Warwick Cove has a dock also. So that's very consistent with the nature of the units that are in there. The area here, if you've been down there, this is kind of fenced-in area, looks like a large pasture. It's really not going to change. It's going to still have the same appearance. As Gary said, this building can be moved anywhere on there. That's no problem. And this is basically going to remain as open space. Again, as Gary stated, as you know, on any of these private central wastewater treatment facilities that have been built in these new developments, they're located right in the new development. So the impact of those are minimal, if any, impact. Gary mentioned that if county sewer comes out there, by law, we'll be required to hook into it, which we would. I did prepare proposed conditions and findings. There's findings for, as you recall, this is really two applications. So there's findings there for both the conditional use and also findings for the change of zone. Again, they are proposed findings if you recommend approval. And also, I prepared conditions, which are just related to the conditional use, of course. And you can give those out. The conditions that I'm giving out, again, are on the conditional use, and one of the conditions that was added to that from the planning and zoning meeting was an agricultural use protection notice. And I think, as you know, in the subdivision ordinance, there is a requirement that for a subdivision in the vicinity of agricultural operations, that there be a disclosure as to the impact of agricultural operations in terms of noise, dust, odors, and things of that nature. So because the property next to us, the owners did speak about that and said they were concerned that they didn't want to have people complaining or create people claiming they're creating a nuisance by their farm operation. So that notice would be in all contracts for any units in this development, as well as in the restrictions for that development in response to that concern. I won't have an opportunity to respond to comments that are made, but I do know some comments that'll probably be made because of the planning and zoning meeting and some correspondence that's in the file. So I just want to kind of try to do a preemptive response to what may be stated as far as our position on that is concerned. I think I've already said the plant facility itself is very non-obtrusive. It fits in there. That land's going to remain as open space. It'll look like a pasture. The agricultural uses in the area, to the extent they exist, we're going to comply with the notice requirements of the ordinance. And again, as you know, state law protects farming operations through the right to farm legislations. As far as road impact, I've already mentioned to you that these roads are now and will be after this development at a level of service A. And at we all know Route 24 certainly carries a considerable amount of traffic in the summertime, as all Sussex County roads do. But those intersections operate at a level of service C. And again, this is not going to affect that to any significant degree. It'll remain the same. There was one of the comments that was made was about that this should be preserved as agricultural lands, that the county's, again, the too much development is occurring. This at the current time is not agricultural lands. It's basically a wooded piece. And as you know, the county has the largest portion of Sussex County is designated as AR lands or as being located in a low-density agricultural area, and that's where agricultural lands really are the main priority. This piece, and it's very important, but it's a fact, this piece isn't in that designation. It's not in the low-density area. It's not in the agricultural area. This is in a growth area. It's in the environmentally sensitive development area. And that is a growth area under the comprehensive plan. This is an area where the county and the state basically is directing growth to go. That's the very intent of this district. It is certainly recognized that growth area is environmentally sensitive and has to be designed in an environmentally sensitive manner. And that's what Mr. Couples in planning this did. We're preserving trees. We're basically meeting setback requirements. And by utilizing central water and sewer, again, that'll minimize any impact on the environment. Also, you know, this is not an undeveloped area. And Mr. Cole, you know, we can say how far away is something, but this isn't an undeveloped area. This is a developed residential area. There's condominium residential use at a high density located in this area. This is similar to that type of development at Gull Point. In fact, the main distinction between this and Gull Point is that this is actually going to be at a much lower density than Gull Point. And again, very importantly, the Office of State Planning Commission, which, from my experience, is no great friend of development in Sussex County, at least that's been my experience, this is a situation where I have something I don't normally have. Their position is that they have no objection to this, that this is in an area that they basically agree is appropriate for development. I think, in general, I certainly understand that existing residents in the area would prefer that the land remain vacant. They'd like to see no change occur. I think that's an understandable position. I think it's pretty much a universal attitude. And if I lived there, I'd probably prefer it to remain wooded also. But this is a land use decision. It's not just based on a popularity contest. It has to be based on applicable land use law, because the owner of the land, they also have rights, and private property has the legal right to be used in an appropriate legal way. And we think that based on all the information that went into the design of this, it is being used in an appropriate way. It's in a growth zone. It's consistent with the existing uses. Appropriate studies were done to design this and to assist the design to be in an environmentally sensitive manner. We've got central water and sewer. DENREC has issued a feasibility letter that it's appropriate. DelDOT has issued entrance letters that it's appropriate. And the state planning office had no objection. So we think this is an appropriate use. We will ask you to consider everything that's going to be stated and presented, and we hope that you will approve this application when it's appropriate. And that will conclude our presentation, other than any questions you might have.
Yeah, you didn't consider we have that new, what we call a...
Density trade.
Well, we have the density trade, but we also have where we allow the smaller lots. What do we call that?
Cluster.
The cluster housing. And without a change of zone, don't you think it's zoned AR and all the land around it's zoned AR? If you'd have gone an ARRPC or used some of this other stuff, we've tried to, you know, offer the developers to get them more creative and not put so much impact on, because wouldn't, in my opinion, less homes would give you more open space, more preserve more of the trees, less impacts on the schools and everything else. So less is more beneficial to the environment, and especially in something sensitive like this. And it's an area it's still rural, Jim. I know you kind of categorize it as a developed area, but, you know, I still ride out there and think it's a rural area. And in parts of some of these roads are still have that maintain a rural atmosphere. And then you drop something like this in it, it sets a precedent for other parcels to go this same route, where single family homes would fit in better. I look at Gall's Nest and I think it's, you know, it's out of place, not something that we should be using as the norm. So was there any consideration for any other options other than increasing the density and changing the zone?
Well, I mean, when it was and again, this is going back a few years ago when this was originally planned, the obviously all things were considered. But this was deemed to be appropriate as far as the multifamily condo type townhouses, based on the fact, again, that Gull Point and...
Probably when it was proposed, the market was different, and this looked like the way to go, and it might be tough to market a lot of multifamily type of stuff in an area where I've always found that single-family homes ride out the ups and downs of the marketplace much, much better.
Realistically, you know, if this is approved, it's going to be 2 or 3 years down the road before anything's really going to be available for sale. So, you know, that's part of the free market system. People take chances and people, you know, make their decisions based on that. But to get back to your question, because of the nature of the area, that was deemed to be appropriate use in this area. There are condominiums existing. And as far as the density, I understand that, you know, some people would rather not see any increase in density. However, this is in the development zone. It's going to be served by central sewer. And if you're going to increase density, that's where you increase density. You do it in a growth area where the county says growth is going to go. And again, and maybe Lawrence knows what the density of Gull Point is. I would think it's probably in the 6, 7, 8 unit per acre range.
Closer to 12.
Okay, closer to 12 units per acre. So
that's not the norm. In other words, I hate to take something that's out of character and use that as the benchmark for future development, where we ought to look at the stuff that's existed for years.
But you said this could set a precedent. This isn't going to set a precedent. There's a precedent that's already been set. Gull Point's there. It's almost 12 units of the acre. Well, this is 3.1 units of the acre.
Sea Colony was a precedent, and we didn't see any more of those. So not all the time do things...
Well, you changed the law with Sea Colony. That's why you didn't see any more of it. But I'm not arguing that. I'm just saying I don't think I agree with you. I think this is the appropriate place for higher density.
Well, I'm sure you would. I agree with that. I understand why you do.
The Gull Point project was zoned partially marine and partially high density when it was created.
Right. A mistake, probably.
Probably.
Chief Way, are you asking that the exhibits be incorporated into the record for both hearings?
Yeah, I think these exhibits are in the book, aren't they? So they're in the booklet, so you don't need the hard copies.
Yeah, but you want them incorporated into the record of the hearings.
The exhibits?
The exhibits.
I'm not sure what you're referring to.
Okay. You had two volumes of exhibits.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I thought they already were. I'm sorry. Yes, please incorporate everything I said and everything I gave you into the record.
Green? If there are no more questions and you're completed with your presentation,
yes.
We'll see if there's anyone else here.
That was both applications, correct?
Yes.
Combined thing.
Is there anyone else here who wishes to speak in support of this application? Is there anyone here who wishes to speak in opposition? If there are more than one, we'll see that you're all given a chance. When you come forward, just state your name, your address, and give us your...
For the record, I did receive a letter of opposition. It was asked that it be read into the record. My preference was to copy it because it's almost four pages.
Okay.
That'll be passed down.
I did pass it down to each member. It is part of the record.
It's your letter that he's passing?
No, it came from Laura Patterson. But it
from
is
Elizabeth
part of the
Hill.
Okay.
Betty from Lewis. I did not get a letter about this. I just found out a few days ago. So I didn't have time to really prepare. But he's wrong. I'm an heir and a property owner of Downs Landing Farm, and that's Downs Landing Road, not Blue Claw. So I object.
Could you tell us the grounds for your objection, ma'am?
Well, it's out of keeping. In spite of what they said, it really is out of keeping with that area. The things that are there, the trailer park has been there for years, very small. And our farm is just for us. It won't be developed, but it's really kind of buffing up against us.
And how many acres is your farm?
Well, it's 22 plus acres.
And is it on the right side of this
chart? It's between Gold Point and this.
That's the vacant spot, left there.
The vacant spot. The family owns the land. It won't be developed. And I think the surrounding area is not really that developed.
You wouldn't consider, if you're a developing area in your mind, it doesn't,
no,
it's still a rural
isn't.
Area like I kind of described it earlier. And
it's a rural
feeling.
Area.
Especially when you get beyond some of that other development.
Right. And it's where the Indians have been many, many years. So, anyway.
Is there anything else you wish to say, ma'am?
I would like to present a letter from my daughter.
Okay. And her name is?
Diana Jane Hill.
Diana, okay. This will be made part of the record.
Thank you, ma'am.
You wish me to read this, gentlemen, or? Okay, we'll just make sure each councilman gets a copy of that. Was
just
there
sure
someone else had their hand up? Yes, ma'am. To Lawrence.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
My name is Lorraine Johnson, and I live on 30801 Downs Landing Road. Now, when the lawyer was speaking for the development company, he did not mention Downs Landing Road as a road that would be used to get to an exit point to get to 24. Downs Landing Road runs from Warwick Road over to this three-point exit road that he was speaking about. It's a narrow road. We have a home there that has been there since about 1935 to 36. It was my parents' home. That road is very close to the road because ground was given, which I have the papers at home, off of my parents' ground for them to make the road that comes through, the little rural road. Because when my mother bought the ground, how she bought it and how it was surveyed back then, her house was back from this area of the road. But when they came through to make this rural road, she gave so much ground, and like I said, I had the papers where so much ground was given, so that made our home very close to the road. And my concern is, if this development comes to the corner, they will have to do something with Downs Landing Road. Because it's a small rural road. What happens to my home? I'm a woman of age. I have moved back here to live here for the rest of my life. I work up at the Sussex Correctional Institution as a volunteer, full time. I want to know, I want to be in this area, and I want to know what will happen to my home if they build that development. Will my home have to be torn down? Will my home have to be moved? I don't have the funds to move to another place. My age is too old to move to another place. There's other homes on the side of me that lives down from me and my aunt's house that was purchased by another person is sitting out near the road. This is a very small road. We walk our dogs up and down this road. We have traffic from this road that comes from Oak Orchard around, and it comes in this three-point corner that the lawyer was speaking about. It comes down Downs Landing Road, turns and goes to the right up Warwick Road to 24, because people in Oak Orchard do not want to go out, enter onto Route 24 because of the existing accidents there. So people from down at Oak Orchard always use Downs Landing Road, which we live on, to come through to go to the corner, which I can't blame them to enter 24 like that, because it's an accident every week up at the corner of Gold Point Road. So, and another thing is with the sewage plant down at the corner. We all have well water. What is going to happen to the water veins? What is going to happen to our water with the sewage plant? The sewage plant is not that far, as they're saying, a distance. It's not that far, because I walk my puppies right down there, and old as I am, I can't walk for so far. So it's a very close distance. And I want to know what's going to happen to our wells. We are not attached to city wells or city water. And the other homes aren't. And this is my concern for us that live in that area. Why should we have to pack up, leave, have our places moved or tore down because a development wants to come in that corner? That's a very close corner, very tight corner. Trailer court down there, and it's a lot of homes. The homes wasn't mentioned, but it's a lot of homes down in that area and going up Warwick Park. Going up, I mean, Warwick Road, up towards 24. And that's all I have to say about it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next person. Yes, ma'am.
My name is Linda Miller. I live in 2701 Screenhouse Lane.
Ms. Miller, could you pull one of those mics closer to you or stand closer
right there
to
it? Okay.
And I'm not very good at speaking, so I brought some papers to pass out in case I don't get through this.
All right.
Face a cave, huh?
We're not good at public speaking either, so
we're good
don't
at
worry
listening.
About it.
Take your time.
Sometimes we're good at listening.
Okay, like I said, my name is Linda Miller, and I live between Gull Point and this development. I did not receive a letter about this, nor did any of my close neighbors. My father was John Rogers Sr., and my grandfather was Charles Downs. What you're calling Blue Claw Road is actually Downs Landing Road. It was named after my grandfather. And I would like to tell you a little bit about the history of the land and my grandfather. He came here with his father, Sidney, in 1884 when he was 13 years old. His father and a Mr. Squire purchased 200 acres from the Governor Stokely. He was actually governor of Delaware at that time. My great-grandfather's portion of the land, they built their home and cleared the land and farmed and fished for a living. The proposed development was part of this land at one time, and part of this land is still in the family. And I have the original deed that the governor signed right there, and that shows that they did own that. My grandfather also delivered mail by boat to Riverdale and Oak Orchard. He would take people to and from Oak Orchard on his boat, and it was called the Atlantic, which he built himself. And I have a picture of that also. He also cut and stored ice that he sold in the summer before refrigeration was available. My grandfather made his own electricity before anyone else in the area had it. He was a true Sussex County pioneer. As for what was said at the last meeting about the vacant land between Gull Point and development, It has been occupied for well over 100 years. It has never, never been a vacant in all that time. I now live in my parents' home on this property, and I have for most of my life. I see eagles flying over the house. I have pictures of eagles. And landing in the trees in my front yard. Hawks, owls, deers, foxes, rabbits, and squirrels in the field and woods. Ducks, geese in the river, and I would like to know where they going to go if we keep developing all the land. A few weeks ago, there was an extreme low tide, and you could see all the crab pots people have just left in the river. The river bottom used to be sandy, and now it's so muddy you can hardly walk. I think this is partly due to all the extra boats at the Gull Point Marina. The waves from these boats have caused my property to lose several feet of shoreline. If you allow another marina on the other side of me, this can only speed up the erosion of the riverbank. I see the buffer trees on the plans, but I notice sometimes things look totally different once the development is completed. And I was wondering, will there be a high and low vegetation in this buffer as an animal habitat? Without a doubt, this development will have a negative impact on the river quality, the animal habitat, our drinking water supply, our already overcrowded roads, and our quiet Sussex County way of life. Sussex County used to be a peaceful place to live. We are losing it. People came here to live in the country, but if this keeps on, we are going to be what they left to begin with. Overdeveloped, large, overcrowded concrete highways. Please rethink this development and any other large development anywhere in Sussex County before we lose what we cannot get back. And I do have pictures of eagles if you wanted to see them. I have a picture of it's hard to see, but I have pictures of an eagle that's flying over top of my trees. I have a picture of an eagle sitting in our field and another one. And you can actually see the houses of some of these people here in the background. And we also have a pond that is between us and the development, my house and the development, and it's very peaceful, very beautiful. And I have a picture of my grandfather and his fish truck. And you've probably seen this on WBOC. They had a picture like that one time. And also, this is his boat, Atlantic, that he built. And you can see there's no houses there at that time. But he used to take tours of people on that boat to different places. Sorry. I also was told about this paper that came out just last Friday. I don't know if you all seen it. But it's talking about Sussex County and how it's being overdeveloped. And that's really how I feel. So if you want to read it, you're welcome to this. And that's all. Thank you. If you want to see the pictures closer.
So you don't support, there's two applications here today, ma'am. One for this layout like that, and the other one's just to change the zone to increase the density. So is it your opinion you're opposed to the change of zone and increasing the density?
I do think there's too many houses. I think the land could be used a different way. And there's a lot of history there to think that the...
Well, a permitted use in an AR district would permit them if they had this sewer system they're talking about two units to the acre, which is permitted. But that would only be single-family homes. All they're permitted today would be single-family homes on that. The change of zone...
With no open space.
And well, whatever, but no, you can only
that's true. If they put a regular subdivision, there would be no open space.
With less houses, there'd be more open space. Anyway, the change of zone and the proposed development, the multifamily, are you opposed to seeing additional, like duplexes and townhouse-type development in that area?
Yes, I am. Okay. I think this land could be used different, especially with the history that the governor of Delaware used.
Well, we can't force him to use it different, but I'm just saying it is. If this gets rejected, he is still permitted to put single-family homes in it, about 2 units to the acre.
And go in by right.
Yeah, that's a permitted.
As your right to.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was just going by what this picture was.
Okay, exactly. Okay. You oppose what you're saying here today?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, ma'am.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Is there anyone else?
Mr. Griffin, before you go any farther, I know we don't allow cross-examination for Mr. Griffin, but I think when someone comes up here like Mrs. Johnson did and you detect fear in her voice that she might lose her house and they're going to widen the road and take her house away from her and so forth, I think it would be good if somebody from the county, and you're the legal counsel, would respond to that and you know,
I'll be happy to
give her a peace of mind that cannot happen.
Well, I think any time a statement that has been made by the public that is not true, somebody ought to correct it and let them know what so they don't leave here. But
we don't normally do that. We normally just let them go sit down.
No,
after we hear from everybody, I'll be happy to.
Okay, and even the applicant, if he says something that's wrong, I think Lawrence ought to, or attorney, if they pick up something that's not quite correct, they ought to be corrected as we go so we don't get confused on all this stuff.
Okay.
Not that you'd ever do that.
Yes, would you identify yourself by name and address?
My name's Richard Wayne Rogers. My address is RD6, 25267 Banks Road. That's where I'm at. Yeah. Okay. And I grew up in this vacant land that they're talking about in between Gall Point and this proposed development. And I've got several things. I've got it kind of listed here. I got some notes here. Some of it's been covered. Traffic has got to be impacted by all this. I don't see how it cannot be. Downs Landing Road, which they were calling Blue Claw Road, is just a small, narrow road. Houses close to the road. I don't know how they would handle that. Warwick Road's not a big road either. Of course, 24's a dangerous place out there. I don't know. Something would have to be done there, it looks like. Sewer, that's my big thing, is sewer. Community sewers, they're known for failures. According to DENREC, I don't know, I've talked to them about it.
They keep approving them.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
If we approve it, they approve it.
Yeah, well, they're known for failures, though, I think.
They got to have it approved before we approve it.
Do you know of... you know failures where Tidewater or Artesian have failed?
No, I don't. I don't even know who's got these things. I know there's one at Gull Point. I don't know how that works. I don't know.
Septic tanks.
Well, Dale, we did have one at Bay Colony. Remember the one at Bay Colony did fail. And we have one out at Angola failing. So we do have some failing.
Could we let Mr. Rogers finish his statement?
Yeah, okay, well, I'm fine.
Yeah, there you go.
We're crossing
anyhow,
each other here.
Yeah.
My thing is I think we need to sewer first and then the development, not some makeshift thing out there that I don't know, you know, may be great. I don't know. Stormwater runoff, I don't know. With the pond to handle it, and we need a plan for that, some kind of plan. This property is in the middle part of this property, right?
Well, they've got it kind of back in there. This is kind of low right in here, real low. I don't know whether you could consider it wetlands. You might be able to. I don't know.
It once was wetlands, I can tell you that. Okay, impact on the river. You got another marina. Where are they going to unload all these boats? Gull Point? I don't know. There's no parking over there. There's nothing. You know, it's nice boat ramp, but no parking. We've got more boats in the marina. If they build it there, they're going to be eroding the shorelines, running back and forth, big boats, waves hitting the shores, just eroding the heck out of everything. The gas and oil from the marina, I don't know, something probably gets spilled, I don't know. Probably a million more jet skis that suck up water and blow it out, and if there's any little minnows or shiners or anything in the water, it's going to chew them up. More outboard motor exhaust, which they exhaust underwater, and there'll be more crab traps. There's so many crab traps in this river right now at a low tide. They're abandoned traps. They're everywhere. They still catch crabs. Crabs still go in them, even though there's no bait in them. And they die in them. So that's another thing. There'll just be more of that. Buffer zone. Next thing I've got. What's a buffer zone? I mean, what do you consider a buffer zone? Is it a high thing? I don't think they're going to want it too high because the river curves around that point.
Buffer is strictly just a gap, a designated area that they can't build in.
Oh, okay. All right, then. Well, I think it needs...
Not a berm. You were thinking of a berm.
Yeah. I'm thinking of some kind of Leland Cypress buffer zone there or something like that. That would help everybody. Even the development, they wouldn't hear our noise from the farming, and we wouldn't have to hear their noise, and they wouldn't have to look at us, and we wouldn't have to look at them. Wildlife. There's a lot of wildlife around there. There's otters, muskrats, rabbits, deers. Only covey of quail that I know, a wild covey of quail, is probably the only covey of quail I know about in Sussex County right now. Wild covey of quails are there, if that matters any. It's nice to hear them in the morning. Ducks, geese, eagles, hawks, birds, all types of birds. There's kingfishers that nest in the bank in front of that house that's there right now. There's a high bank there. Mm-hmm. Kingfishers, they nest in the banks there. What I'm wondering is, will the plan stay the same? What I've noticed, I actually live in Long Neck. We own the property up there. So I've had a pretty good dose of development here. Seems like it never does stay the same. Buffer zones, too. Get back to that. We need something in writing on a buffer zone there. What's going to be?
It's by law.
By law. Okay, good deal. Okay. All right. And the bottom line, I guess we can't stop development, but we can maybe plan ahead and get things in line before we do it. And if anybody right now wants to live in Sussex County, they can buy a place in a development any place they want. There's enough. They'd be glad to see you, I'm sure. We need to use up what we've got right now first, clean up what we've done to the river and the countryside, and then think about a development. And that's about all I got to say about it.
I got a question for you. It's presently zoned. I said the same thing as the other lady. It is presently zoned AR. All they can do today is about 45 plus or minus homes, versus the change of zone and this and a plan similar to this of 70 some. Which would you feel is more environmentally sensitive?
Well, less homes would be more sensitive, of course. Right. But I still think we need to get our sewer and water straightened out before we get into.
Okay.
All this. Thank you.
Is there anyone else who wishes? Yes, sir. Come forward.
Hey, Lawrence, can they put tanks in if they're less than 50 or is it 35? Is it 50 houses or 35?
Go ahead, sir. If you'll state your name and your address and then make your statement.
I have 3/4 acre of a lot.
Trying to be polite here. My name is Wayne Miller. I live at 28701 Screenhouse Lane. Basically, there.
There?
Right there. I live right beside where this thing is going. I'm probably the one person on this side of the room that's not against development. I think I'm very firm on being in favor of property owners' rights. But those rights should not extend to the point of hurting my property value. There is no way that a sewer here will not affect my property here. I'm pretty sure that neither one of you or your spouses have ever said to each other that I want to go buy property next to a sewer. Nobody wants to live next to a sewer. That will damage my property rights. If this is to be approved, and it looks like a very attractive unit, and I've heard good things about the gentleman that's proposing building this, wait till the sewer is available for it before you develop this area. Hook it to the public sewer. Don't put this out. However attractive the building is, it's still going to be a sewer, and nobody's going to want to live next to it.
I used to live out here on Shallow Church Road, which is next to where the present county dump is. We went to the hearings on that. They assured us that it was not going to affect our property values because you wouldn't be able to see it from the road. You won't be able to hear it. You won't be able to smell it. And guess what? It affected my property values all the way up till the point where I sold it when we moved down here to the river. This is going to affect my property values. My neighbor should not be able to affect my property values no more than I should be able to affect his. And that was basically all I wanted to say to you guys, but after hearing that DelDOT has no idea that this is going to impact us getting on and off of Route 24, my question is, does anybody in DelDOT even live in Delaware? They surely have not been down there to see where Warwick Road hits Route 24. I know they've not been down there once a week when I can't go home because an accident on Route 24 runs thousands of cars across my front where my driveway comes out onto Downs Landing Road. I mean, I live there. I know what it's like to try to get in and out of it in the wintertime. It's ridiculous. In the summer, it's almost impossible. And they have wrecks regularly down there. We had one last week. I'm just lucky I was working in Dover. I didn't have to try to get home, or I'd have had to set out until lunchtime to get home because it was tied up all morning long. Somebody needs to talk to DelDOT, honestly. Well,
Mr. Jones, could you do that?
They are proposing, of course, a dual rise, you know, to a certain point to Love Creek, and, you know.
I've seen several proposals. I haven't seen any ground being broken.
I agree. 2010, I think. Maybe someone give or take a few.
You own our lifetime.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
I'm planning on dying of old age before I see any real improvement to the roads. But the sewer needs to be brought in. Gentlemen, don't let these...
You'll see sewer before you see dualization. How's that?
Well, I would actually like to see sewer because, you know, so many of us there are on old septic tanks and cesspools and stuff like that. We're bound to be impacted also. But I don't think that somebody should be allowed to affect my property value.
They could put septics in there, isn't that right? That's why I was asking Lawrence just to make sure.
They could
if they approved a 3/4 acre lot, right?
Yeah, but they'd have 20 some houses instead, right?
But I'm saying they could put
if they applied for a cluster, they could actually do 1/2 acre lot clusters if DENREC would approve the soil as being suitable for septic.
Right. Okay. All right. No problem. That's cool. We understand what you're. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Anyone else who wishes to be heard? Yes, sir.
What would be acre lots? Other plan for other one.
Hey, my name is James Farmer, and I live at 308 Downs Landing Road, and I live behind my mother and my.
Whereabouts that, sir? On that map, is it up to the left or to the right? I mean,
Farmer.
This is where. They're talking about putting the waste treatment.
Right.
This is my neighbors. We live up here where the road starts to be narrow. And my cousin lives there, and I have a notarized letter from her as she her husband.
Give it to Lori.
We'll make that part of the record.
And I was on my way home last week with my wife from the doctor's, and they had the wreck in front of us. So I had my wife let me out in direct traffic. And it was so much traffic during the morning hours that we had to direct traffic up towards the Seventh-day Adventist Church and the other way. They had to stop it because two cars could not pass on Downs Landing Road without knocking down mailboxes or running up. My mother's house sits exactly 9 feet from the highway. And I understand this is very nice, but I asked myself a question. What is more beautiful? What God put there, or what we're going to develop? And I asked another question. I understand they said they're going to put a buffer here.
Mm-hmm.
I've been living here most of my life. You know, when there's an accident here out on this main highway, this is the direct route.
That's where they go around the house
and go out.
A roundabout.
And you know that the tractor trailers get stuck on the corner there, and we have problems with them. The ambulance service comes down, and we have to pull off into our neighbor's field so they can come into my cousin's house, take him out once a week. And right there at the end where this property is at, I was the one last week to tell you, the last time we had the meeting, is that I watched these eagles, the kingfishers, and in the field eating. And they said there was no nests. I walked in there. There is nests in there.
In here?
Yes. right in this property right here, right along the water here, where this house is at, there's a big old tree. It's got a nest in it where the eagle is at. And there's kingfishermen there, because I have walked all in the woods when Judy let us all hunt in this area. And where we're at right now, there's more people. Really, this probably would edify the area, but also duck hunters go there. That is the most known place for duck hunting. The boats is going to be parked from here all the way up here. They're up to this point now. Once they make this here marina and you're no longer allowed to go in this area, how far will the duck boats be up this way? And that is the best duck place because people hunt over on the other side with the paraplanes.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of people in this area, the Department of Corrections sends down a truck, and they get truckloads of crab pots, and they just throw them in the trash. And there's still right now piles of them out there. And really, myself, I oppose the rezoning, the project. The first thing should be maintained is some way try to accommodate the citizens that's been living in there, develop the highway before you make a more impact on the area, because it's a very impact. You have older people that walk the street, jogs from Walk Park. Some of them don't even have reflectors on. You come out our driveway, there's people that speed from Gulls Point. They sit, they have a back gate on the Gulls Point. Are y'all familiar with it? This is supposed to be a construction thing. They made it now a main entrance. So they come out of there and come right on through our way. It used to just be a closed gate. They took the gate off, so that gate's gone. It was only for emergency use only. Now that's a main entrance to get to the back part of Gulls Point instead of going through the guard shed. So the same thing is going to probably happen to this. Our emergency gate's going to turn into another entrance because it's going to be too much traffic going in. 70 units, the average family has, what, two cars. A husband and wife is not going to share the same car. So you're looking at 140 cars. I mean, can you see yourself going to work, taking your wife somewhere too? No. So all I'm asking you to do is think this over very good. And it is a very nice looking site. But, you know, there's other places where it could be located. Right now, it has taken the view from people who lived there on the ocean, on that little bay, all their lives, and seen it. When Rosedale Beach was there, you could see the whole river. It was a little island out there. I used to swim to it. They said they was going to never take that little island out of there. When Gulls Point came there, the island went. We have no island there no more. So that's why we have the water don't divert no more. The water just rushes hard around through there. So people should think, because one thing we're doing, we're developing and we're destroying at the same time. One day this is going to come back to haunt us.
Just quickly, how would you describe the area in general? As a development area or a rural area, or how would you describe it?
Right now, the area is an area that you could leave your mother or your uncle and feel safe. It's an area that's like an old-fashioned area. And Gulls Point, they got a fence down through there. Right. And it's a part that it's not so much as the development. It's the people that comes from other parts of the cities, Baltimore's, and they buy the buildings, and then they rent them out to people, and then you get all kind of people in there, and they be running through your yards, they be doing this. It's so much, you have to really come down that road. If me and you came down that road together, one of us had to pull over off the side of the road to let one pass. The post office woman, she has the mailboxes down. She goes down and goes in Mr. Rogerson Road to make a U-turn, so she can back up. The road ain't big enough to make a U-turn. She got to back up and then back up and then come deliver the mail to us. So, you know, it's just the road is no bigger than 12 feet wide, I bet you. So I'm just asking you, rethink this. And first thing of all, I agree with Mr. Rogers, develop the sewage system in that area. That's what we need, sewage system, water. That's what we really need. Leave it like it is right now. The animals have nowhere to go. They're getting hit on the highway. The eagles are really coming back in that area. I wake up every morning. I have seen coveys of quails, 30 and 40 quails in coveys living out there at nighttime. I got paths cut through the pine trees where you sit there and see 30 and 40 wild rabbits and white deers. It's white deers back in there. Spotted owls. It's everything, because I'm the kind of person that goes back there for the trained rabbit dogs. If you do this, where are these animals in that little area going to go? But cross 24 or to Gulls Point and be shot. So that's where I leave this right now, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir.
Sir, you mentioned that your house is behind your mother's house. Is that Mrs. Johnson who spoke earlier? Thank you. Is there anyone else who wants to be heard? Yes, sir.
Got one more in the back.
Hello, my name is Darrell Patterson. I own the property right here, right next to the 140-person toilet.
That's a what?
That's a toilet. They're going to put a toilet right next to my house, right next to my farm. That's
you mean
the
sewer?
You mean a big Johnny on the spot?
Yeah,
And it just, it's 10 years for the sewer to come. I mean, it's nothing. It's a rural area, just like we're all saying. Single family homes. That's what we want. I'm opposed to the rezoning to put that many homes on a piece of property like this. The sewer is the big thing. And the next thing with units like this is the same thing that happens at Gold Point. One of my neighbors a few years ago was shot at because they were riding their ATV in their backyard. The people that are buying these places don't want farms around them. And that's where we're at. We have farms and we want to be in single family homes. And, the thing about Gold Point is it was a mistake. I mean, it was a total mistake. And how can we do it again? There's different places for this kind of stuff. And, we know it's going to be developed someday, but it's just too much, and none of us want it.
How big is your farm, sir?
What's that?
How big is your farm?
I have 4 acres right there. I have another problem is what I'll receive is these people that are going to move in here will not like me. I have chickens. I have roosters. They go all night long. And
You're that guy. I've heard about you.
Yeah. And
pass the ordinance. Don't let anybody from outside. I agree with you there.
What's that?
Nobody from New Jersey, Pennsylvania, New York.
Oh, I don't care about that. It's not that. It's that they're going to be upset with me for having roosters. It's a given. It's too many. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Is there anyone else who wishes to be heard? This is probably the last chance because once the public hearing is closed, we can't reopen it unless council leaves it open.
Got the two shy ones right here, two shy ones in the front.
Before we do that, I was asked to respond to Mrs. Lorraine Johnson's statement. I think it was stated in the record that her home is fairly close to the right-of-way of Downs Landing Road. And her question was whether, if this is approved, the road would have to be widened and her home would have to be moved and she would have to move away. As I understand it, there is nothing in this application that involves any proposed widening of the road or taking of any of your land that would impact or cause you to have to move your home. Obviously, the county doesn't build the roads. The state builds the roads. But there's nothing in this application that involves widening that road.
Can we all have that in writing?
Well, it's part of the record. What I'm saying is that these developers are not proposing to widen the road, and DelDOT is not requiring them to do that as part of DelDOT saying.
They have to delegate. The only thing they have to are obligated to do probably is to give them land in front of their development period.
That's all they can
make.
They
have to donate it to the state.
They can make them give them some land area for an entrance, a decel, or acceleration lane, or that type of thing, but not your land.
So when that whole area is developed, they will never widen that road?
No, we're not saying that. We're just saying there's nothing involved in this application that involves it.
That tears our houses down in the road. That's what I'm saying. Or where we live
right now. Just on their property. Fast DelDOT move, you're going to live long enough where your grandchildren.
It was widened on the site plan on their
portions of the ground, so it's an additional 5 feet, but it's not the entire length, right?
It wasn't widened. They just requested an additional dedication.
Okay, in case it ever does get widened.
Now, we're going to close the public record. Is that okay with everybody here?
That's correct.
Record, the public record of the hearing is closed. All the letters and comments that people submitted are preserved in the record. Since the Planning and Zoning Commission has deferred, County Council will also have to defer, which means we can't make a decision until we get their recommendation.
Make a motion, we defer.
Maybe get him come down. Maybe get him come down.
Come on, Joe.
I got county problems.
We got motions, we're done. For a second.
Yeah, okay.
So move to second that we defer action on this case. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Beeks?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you. Have a good day, guys.
George, make a motion.
That's where I got one each spot.
Make a motion, we adjourn.
Make a motion, we adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
It's the only time I get support out of you guys.
It's the only time you make good motions.